It's 106 from the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Harriet Williamson's our associate producer. And during this hour of the program, it's an opportunity for you to call in and talk to our station manager and program director. Joining us here in the studio, WILL station manager Dan Simeone and AM 580 program director Jay Pierce. Good afternoon to both of you.
Good to be here.
Welcome. And as much as I'm sure they'd love to talk with me the entire hour, we'd really like to hear from you. And the way you do that is giving us a call at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 1-800-222-WILL. And while we're waiting for folks to call in, maybe we could talk a little bit about a couple of things. First of all, some special programs we have coming up, and also some of our election coverage as we've reached an election campaign. Where would you guys like to start?
Well, we can start with a rather ambitious schedule of campaign coverage, which is slated to begin in September. And, of course, everything that we talk about is subject to the participation and availability of the candidates. But we will be featuring various candidate forums and editorial boards, as we're calling them, and debates, at least that's what we have scheduled as of right now, some of them in cooperation with WILL TV Channel 12, some with Illinois Public Radio and the Illinois Radio Network, and some on our own. Beginning on Thursday night, September 3rd, that's when the season begins for us in earnest. At 8 p.m., we'll be simulcasting with Channel 12, Talking Point, which is an hour-long public affairs program that they present throughout the year. David Inge, by the way, our host of Focus 580, also hosts that program. That will be a candidates forum, and then we'll be airing those live on the Thursday evenings and then rebroadcasting them at 1 o'clock the following Saturday. Those will be on alternate Saturdays, and then on the Saturdays in between, we'll be airing our own editorial boards. And what these are is we've invited candidates for various congressional and statewide offices to come in and spend 45 minutes or so with our reporters. Much like a newspaper would do an editorial board meeting, by having its reporters and editors with the candidate asking the various questions. And so we're tape recording those, and we'll be just playing them back. And this is what we would normally do to get the actualities, the sound bites, as it were, for the various profiles, which we'll also be doing throughout the campaign season. That brings up an interesting topic, and as to how we are coming up with the questions and the like. And before I came in April, obviously before the primary election, the folks here at the radio station had begun putting together a list of issues, and that's how we're covering this campaign, not looking at particular candidates and then trying to tell everything about that candidate. Instead, we're looking at issues, and we'll be questioning the candidates on the specific issues and then putting together reports which will run during Morning Edition and the Afternoon Magazine on those issues and the various candidate stands on those issues in various races. The issues being education, campaign finance reform, health care, crime, welfare reform, and agricultural issues, of course. And if you've been reading Patterns magazine, you've seen the columns on these various issues from the reporters who were the point people on them. So in essence, is what we're doing with the campaign coverage. We have some planned debates between the gubernatorial candidates, the U.S. Senate candidates, and Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of State candidates, which will be coming up. Another gubernatorial debate, which will be a production of WILL and the radio and television stations at Southern Illinois University, WSIU. And then on election night, of course, we'll be here with the totals and highlights and analysis as it goes.
Well, Jay, Dan, the phone lines are wide open. So I think I better give out those phone numbers again and explain. This is, this hour, an opportunity for you to call in with any questions or comments that you have, positive or negative. You're ready to criticize. It's okay. We can take it. We're ready for it.
We did this a couple of months ago, and we were overwhelmed with phone calls. Maybe everybody got it out of their system.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, in addition to what Jay was talking about, is we're still planning to have allow listeners to have direct access to the candidates on Focus 5. 580 and Afternoon Magazine, where you'll have an opportunity to call in and ask questions of the candidates directly, if you'd like to do that. Of course, again, that depends on the candidates making themselves available for both of those programs. But Jack Brighton and David and Harriet and Celeste are working hard to try to schedule as many of the candidates as possible so that you can have the chance to ask them directly.
Now, I know we do have some of those scheduled already in some of the state Senate races. The U.S. Senate race, I believe, is scheduled, too. I know that Carol Moseley Braun will be – Senator Carol Moseley Braun will be on one of the focus programs, which I believe – I do have the date on somewhere. I didn't bring it in, but it's early in September. So that's a good point, Dan, because I should have mentioned back when the issues were being developed, the issues upon which the candidates will be questioned, that was a list, if I'm not mistaken, and you were – this was prior to me coming, so you might be able to elaborate on this, but there was quite a bit of listener input solicited via email, the mail, telephone calls, and the like to decide on these issues.
Exactly. We really felt like we wanted to try to concentrate on those things that were the most important to our audience. And so we asked for your help, and we received a good bit of input, and that helped us to identify the issues that we talked about. And I think all of them are things that represent serious concerns on the part of our audience. And I think the range of opportunities that you'll have to hear the candidates in a variety of different contexts will hopefully help help you make the decisions you have to make prior to Election Day. I really like the editorial board idea, for instance, because I think it sort of fills a gap in the kinds of information that we can provide about candidates. You know, candidates always hold news conferences. In a lot of cases, they control the environment where the information is disseminated. An editorial board really provides an opportunity for our reporters who are informed about the issues to ask questions and even follow-up questions on specific issues that we know the audience is concerned about. And sort of gives I think shifts the balance a little bit in favor of those of you who listen to and have to make decisions about candidates, so that you get a chance to hear a little bit of a different slant on how a candidate handles questions about issues in a different form, a little something a little bit different. So it's another option for you as you sort of assess where the candidates stand.
Our phone number is 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. If you have any questions or comments for Dan Simeone or Jay Pierce, any questions about AM 580, comments, positive, negative, whatever, let's take a call, starting with line one, caller from Champaign. Oh, we have lost that caller from Champaign. Okay. All right. Well, again, 333-WILL, 1-800-222-WILL.
We could mention a couple of things from the last time Dan and I did this program. One is the time tone is back at the top of the hour. We actually had a request for that. The other is the telephone system. We had some calls, and we've had a lot of discussion about this, and it's one of those things in the move to Campbell Hall when you're putting in new equipment. Anyone who has tried to put together a home PC system or a stereo system will know it's not, quote-unquote, plug and play when you're doing this. There's a lot of tweaking and fine-tuning, and you can imagine the number of microphones and control boards and dials and knobs and buttons, computer systems, telephone systems, satellite receiving apparatus, etc., that we have to put together to make the radio station function. So we just ask for patience as we tweak. And I think the telephone system has gotten a lot better. There were some problems with callers being cut off or callers being able to hear the guests on the program and vice versa. But we've, I think, taken care of a lot of that situation. There are still some fine-tuning elements that need to be taken care of, that and in some other areas, but they are being addressed and taken care of as quickly as we can. And we've come a long way since that week when we were here in the offices in the new place and then packing up all our work and driving back to Gregory Hall to actually go on the air and broadcast. So we're getting there.
Yeah, I think we all understand why, you never really understand the total scope of what's involved in moving such a complex operation until you actually try to do it. And I think we've actually the amount of time we've actually been off the air has been pretty minimal when you consider the scope of the undertaking and the thousands, literally thousands, I'm sure, of connections that had to be made in all of the studios that we're now using here in Campbell Hall. But I think Jay's right. We're making progress every day, and I think I really have to tip the hat to our engineering staff. It's just an outstanding job under extraordinary circumstances to make all of this go.
If you've ever driven by when the telephone company is working on one of those big cables, and it's sticking up out of the ground, or when one gets cut, if you're looking at it, and there are just seemingly thousands of wires sticking out of it. Just imagine about 10 of those and having to connect every one of those little wires to the right place and keep it all straight, and that's pretty much what they've been going through.
We now have a caller on the line from Line 4, a caller in Bloomington. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm the guy that called in about the time signal the last time you were on, and I certainly appreciated being back. And it seems to me that it's a little bit louder than it was before. Is that correct?
Could be. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention, but it might be. It was just hooked back up. I assume it's the same device that it was before. That would be an engineering question, but it is hooked back up, and it could be. It could be. Is that better?
Does that come in from the Naval Observatory or what?
My understanding is, and anyone here can correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that's generated locally. Piece of equipment that makes the beep, and it's synchronized to National Public Radio. They send an hourly, or it may be even sooner than an hour, it may be more times an hour. They have a master clock at National Public Radio upon which all of their programs are based, and we're synchronized with that so that our clocks are running the same time as theirs, so we can, join the network on time.
Oh, I see.
So I think
it's synchronized that's to very that. Interesting.
Yeah.
And I had heard that there was a signal that came from the Naval Observatory.
There is, yeah. And as a matter of fact, you can buy clocks. I've seen them in catalogs that receive the National Observatory radio signal that actually will do the same thing, in essence.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the
call.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. If you have any questions or comments about AM 580, our programming, our operations, where we are now, what it is we do, why we fundraise, all that sort of stuff, well, we'll take any of those questions.
We just had a pre-fundraising meeting.
That's
right. As a matter of fact, the fundraiser is coming up in October. And an interesting comment that I don't approach lightly, and I will say this, and because I, by way of thanking our generous listeners, I know that it always comes up as a topic of conversation and to some a source of irritation when we spend the week two times a year, when we spend a week asking for your pledges and the like. We got a report from one of the folks who handles this in our business end of our radio station. That in comparison to other public radio stations around the country, the number of minutes per year that we spend asking for pledges and donations is way down at the bottom of the pile. And that means a couple of things to me. One, it means that the time that we do spend is very efficient. And the second thing is a direct result of that it's an indication that our listeners respond and don't need to have, for instance, 4 weeks out of the year of coaxing. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I've always been amazed, frankly, at our stations have always been among the top stations in the system, in the public radio system, in terms of the membership dollars that you, those of you who listen, help us generate in a market of our size compared to other stations in similar markets. We're always near the top. And that's really a tribute to those of you who listen to the station. And so I certainly hope that it's possible for us to be able to maintain you know, our current schedule of fundraising for a long time to come. And as long as listeners come through, I think we'll be able to do that. It's really a tribute to you, those of you who listen to the station, that that's possible.
I think the problem right now is that everybody that listens during this time of the day is a big fan of Celeste Quinn, and she and they figured out that she's on vacation all this week, and I'm filling in. And
no,
it's
like, I can tell you
why. Tune in now.
I can tell you that I've been doing radio for a while, and that it's just completely unpredictable. I mean, it's just unpredictable as to whether people are going to respond at a particular time or not or whatever. And, you know, you can sit there and analyze it and try and figure it out like we do a lot of times during the fundraising times when the phones seem to go quiet. And there's is very little logic to it. I don't know. I don't know what determines. Maybe we should talk a little bit about Weekends at One.
We can do that.
Yeah, that's been kind of an interesting experiment for us. And, you know, one of the things that I always found kind of frustrating from the programming side in public radio is that there's so many more programs out there available than we're able to broadcast, even with two 24-hour stations. There's simply and good programs, programs that are worth hearing. And so we decided, well, why not broadcast some of these programs, give the audience an opportunity to hear them on a, you know, a monthly basis, maybe change the programs every month and give people four opportunities or so to hear a particular show on a weekend, just to sort of see what people think. And if there is an overwhelming response to a particular show, if a lot of people would like to hear a particular program, you know, we'll consider broadcasting it. Obviously, we can't run everything. We just don't have time, nor do we have the resources to run every program. But it's an opportunity for us to sort of get a reading of how the audience feels.
Here on AM 580, take a guess off the top of your head. How many different programs do we run in the course of a week? And I'm saying, like, for instance, the BBC Overnight Service runs seven nights. That would be one program. Morning Edition, Monday through Friday, that would be one program. Focus, one program. How many different programs do we run in the course of a week do we air? 43 is the answer.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's
43 different programs, and there are probably that many more that I have information on sitting on my desk that I'd love to have a place to put. So it's a juggling act. So, and this is leading into what you're talking about, Dan, with Weekends at One. Input is something that I just I can't get enough of in making decisions on putting programs on the air or keeping them on the air. So Weekends at One has been a fantastic idea. We've had, let's see, Anthem was on Weekends at One. That got some good response. We're currently running On the Media. We've had some good response to this program. Let's see.
Wait,
we also ran Wait, Don't Tell Me, which was kind of interesting. And we may bring that one back again because it has been restructured, revitalized, I guess, or has some changes have been made by NPR in that program. So that may get another shot before we're done. We've also had Beyond Computers, which got some pretty good response. So it's been Rock and Roll America. Got a couple of good comments, got some negative comments and the like. But so what I've been doing is compiling all these comments. And sometime around the end of the year, I think, will be the cutoff, because I am actually getting to the end of the pile of programs that we really did want to put in that slot to get response on, to choose one. And so probably beginning in 1999, we'll settle on something which will be in that position. But it's been an interesting experience, and we've gotten some good response on just on that process, people enjoying that. Some people have just enjoyed the fact that we present a different program.
Right, exactly.
So it very well may be the case that we find another time to put the program besides Saturday at 1 and continue offering different programs Saturday at 1. That may be what happens. I don't know yet.
Well, we've got a couple of folks waiting. Why don't we take some calls? Start with line 1, caller from Urbana. Hi.
Hi. I had talked once about trying this program that comes out of the Smithsonian. It's NPR or whatever the initials are, and it's called Dialogue.
Right.
And I was wondering if you had a chance to investigate that.
Yeah, I found it, and I have an audition tape of it. And
maybe you could try that for this feedback kind of thing.
That could be. We might do that.
Okay.
That is a good thought. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
And I'll be brutally honest about how the process works sometimes. I got it. I listened to it. We didn't have any place. This would have been back last April or May. We didn't have any place to deal with it at that time. But since then, there have been some programming changes, and I'm very happy that you called and reminded me about that, because we may have a spot opening up for it next month. And it may just happen. So I'm going to pull that one, back out of the pile and take another listen to it this afternoon.
Let's go on to caller on line two from Champaign. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Afternoon Magazine.
Hi. Good to hear you guys talking. Such maleficent.
Whatever we are.
Mellifluous. Is
that
it?
That's right.
Pear-shaped.
Pear-shaped.
<Great word.
laughs> Yeah, well, we keep
not
getting
only in
these
voice,
wonderful
but,
voices, and I'm losing my ability. Anyway, first thing I wanted to do was to mention that when the big war ended, that is World War II, I looked at my mother and I said, "Now, what do they put on the radio and newspapers now that the war is over?" And the answer, I guess, is open to question now that we have our presidential dancing around in the Oval Office. But the real compliment that I wanted to offer to you gentlemen is that you're bringing music back between the news points and between the station breaks and things.
Oh.
You're bringing more and better music back, and it's a wonderful thing. If you go back to the 50s when we listened to music with an occasional good disc jockey having his comments, now we have these wonderful disc jockeys who are bringing some good music back in. And keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is an interesting point. We use what we call music bridges on the station, and if you noticed, Friday is Big Band Friday. We tend to use some big band and swing. And we, interestingly enough, for those 1 minute and sometimes minute and a half little snippets of music that sometimes we just consider filler between the talking, we get some good response to that.
Oh yeah,
and we do believe it or not, put some care in the selection of the pieces of music that we use, more than you might think. We're not just grabbing a piece of music to fill some time with. Sometimes we do put some thought into that.
It also has a very practical kind of application, too, in terms of a format that involves so many different kinds of information, and sometimes in very short segments, well, short in our terms of, 3 to 5 to 9 minute segments. It's sort of also an audio signal to the audience that, we're changing gears a little bit. We're going to switch to something else. And the music sort of serves as a little bit of a signal that that something else is coming up, something a little different. And so it serves a lot of purposes, I think.
Well, first of all, let me give out the phone numbers, as we have phone lines open at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL or 1-800-222-WILL. Now, I've got an interesting question here for you guys. The caller, who I guess did not want to talk on the air, wanted to ask about the Ryan memo. Let me explain what this is in reference to. At some point recently, one of our reporters was either inadvertently faxed or we're not exactly sure of the circumstances of it. There have been some suggestions that it was faxed on purpose. Some say it was faxed by accident. But basically wound up in a reporter's hands, an internal memo intended to go between two members of George Ryan's campaign. And this memo outlined how the Ryan campaign was going to, what strategies they were going to use as they carried on their campaign to acquire the votes from certain different demographic groups and that sort of thing. And it's something we've been reporting on and following up on. And, of course, this story is sort of developing as now the Pichard campaign has asked that there be an investigation, and now
they've gotten the
Illinois State Police have begun an investigation now. So the question is, could this Ryan memo be posted on our news group?
No. Let me handle that. I'll tell you how this happened. Basically, this is we're not in the business of taking our news sources, the information that we gather behind the scenes for a news story and making that public. Well, I've had several requests, personally email and otherwise, to get a look at the document. That's not part of our service. The story that we did from it, what happened was Amy Morris was working at another radio station at the time. As news director, I'm preparing to come over to work at our radio station. She received the facts, and it was inadvertently, apparently, we pretty much have confirmation from a George Ryan staffer that it was inadvertently faxed to her as part of a semi-mass fax, I guess, to various people that worked within the Ryan campaign. And what it is a staff member had put together some campaign bullet points, perhaps you'd say. It was some strategies, basically, for addressing various issues and courting the votes of certain demographics. And Amy came to work here and had a big pile of stuff that you bring from job to job, obviously, and she had seen this fax but didn't really look too deeply into it. And after she was here, we started looking at it, and she initially came to Tom Rogers, the news director, and then myself, and said, she talked to Cheryl Weedy and other of our reporters about it, and it kind of became, wow, well, look what this is, because you don't often get one of these over a fax machine, inadvertently. And so we looked at it, and our initial reaction was, wow, this is probably something. You have a sense. And we looked through it, and we thought it would make a really nice piece on campaign strategy and how campaign strategy is arrived at and what terminology, for instance, is used. And that was kind of the gist of our story in these kind of documents. Comparing that to what actually happens at the press conference, private face versus public face, in other words. And we thought that would be interesting because most people never get to see a document like this in their lives. They get to see the polished product that gets out on the air in the form of a campaign commercial or a news conference or a debate or whatever. And we thought, well, that would be really neat to be able to show some of what goes into it. And that is what happened. We did that story. And it was picked up by Illinois Public Radio, and then, of course, a lot of people heard it, interested special interest groups, other media, who took it and ran with it and found various aspects of this that they wanted to look into, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that's how the process went. And then the story became the police investigation came out of a part that we had in our story, but we were dwelling more on the aspect of this is how this is what. And it's not that George Ryan's campaign is doing anything really radically different than a lot of campaigns do. That wasn't the point of the story. We're not harping on George Ryan. We're not picking on George Ryan. His happens to be the document that we got a hold of. A lot of campaigns, do the same thing. And so anyway, to make a long story short and get back to the point, other media found ways that they wanted to treat the thing. And so they did, and the thing has gotten to the point where it is. But as for making this document public, for us making copies of it and sending it out en masse, no. That's not what our business is. We did the story. That was what we're here to do. So I think I think it points out something very interesting, the power, of the media and the interest in this. And we're in the business of putting out information. There are some people who are very unhappy with us for having done this story, for having used this document in this way or doing anything. My feeling is very much along the lines of when President Clinton was giving his response and his admission, as it were, recently in his apology, and then all of a sudden attacking Ken Starr and saying, you're wasting money, you shouldn't be doing this investigation, it shouldn't be so prolonged. Well, my initial response is, well, the investigation wouldn't be necessary if you hadn't done something that people were suspicious of or, you know, had feelings one way or the other. Same thing, you know. I mean, obviously people within the Ryan campaign wish we hadn't done this, wish we hadn't found this thing, and if we wish we'd thrown it away or ignored it or, you know, whatever. But the fact is, it came over our fax machine, or, well, it came over, you know, Amy's fax machine, and she had possession of it, and, you know, that pretty much makes it a fair game to have it, you know, we checked the validity of it. A staffer on the Ryan's campaign confirmed that, yes, it was inadvertently faxed to us. And so anyway, that's kind of how that evolved. And if they're embarrassed about anything that was inside the document, perhaps they shouldn't have put the document together. I don't know. Maybe that's kind of my feeling on it. So, and it gives a side of a campaign that most people don't see. That's valid to me as a newsworthy item.
Let's take another call. Line one from Champaign. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Very interesting program, and I'm very much interested in this last comment of the program manager. Mm-hmm. It explains a few things that I've been wondering about, but that's not my main reason for calling. What I'm asking about, is it fair game to talk about FM programming?
Sure, sure.
I'm very much interested in classical music, and I very much miss some programs that used to be on. Jim Spada's program from California, from Southern California, and also George Jelinek's vocal scene.
Mm-hmm.
They were on for years on Sundays, where there's been a lot of programming changing recently around 12 and 1 o'clock. The programs are constantly changing, it seems. And I wondered if is there anybody else out there who's missing these programs, as am I?
Well, first of all, I will be sure and pass your comments along to Jake Schumacher, our program director on FM. And certainly I'd be interested, as always, in hearing anyone else who would be interested in hearing these shows. We have been rotating a variety of things in there, and I think the idea is that we're trying to find those things that a fair number of listeners are interested in hearing. Frankly, we did not get a whole lot of reaction to dropping either of those shows, but we did get some. I wouldn't say we didn't get any, but we did. It wasn't overwhelming, certainly. But we're certainly interested in knowing if there are others who feel the same way, and if so, you can either call right now, or you can write or call us off the air and just let us know.
Okay.
And we thank you for that call, and that voice you just heard is WYLL station manager Dan Simeone. He's directly to my right, and directly to his right is our AM 580 program director, Jay Pierce. They're both here in the studio to answer your questions or comments about WYLL, about AM 580, our FM station, if you'd like to call in with questions about that, anything about the programming, about what we do here or how we go about what we do. Give us a call, 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 1-800-222-WILL. And we have about 10 minutes left, so there's still plenty of time for you to call in with your questions or comments this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine.
Mm-hmm. One thing we might talk about, Craig, is some of the special programming which will be coming up. We have reserved Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock for special programming. And right now, the Merrow Report is running at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoons. It will be over as of the next to the last Saturday in October. And on the final Saturday in October at 3 o'clock, we'll be running a special Aldous Huxley's Brave New Worlds. And this is a documentary. It's 2 half-hour documentaries, actually. It makes an hour program, which chronicles the life and the times and the relationships and some of what went into Aldous Huxley's writings, some of his associates and the like. Should be pretty interesting. And then after that, in November, we'll get into a really interesting series that you'll be hearing more about these, you know, as we come up on them. But it's called the DNA Files, and this is going to be a series of, I believe it's 9 one-hour programs by John Hockenberry. And basically what this this does is it gives some perspective and raises some questions, perhaps maybe answers some questions about the whole question about genetics, genetic engineering, how it happens, how it came about, what are some of the ethical questions about it. Maybe answer some of the questions about fact or fiction. Are there gay genes? Are there fat genes? Are there personality genes? You know, and the whole, like, it's going to be, from what I've seen the advanced information, a very interesting and very informative series, and we'll be starting that in November at 3 o'clock, and that will continue through the end of the year, too. So you'll be hearing more about that program.
We've got folks waiting on the line. Let's go to line one. Caller from Urbana. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
I'd like to put in a plug for On the Media. I believe you've been playing it for several weekends now.
Yeah, during 1 o'clock Saturdays during
right, the month of
August.
Right, and I heard this morning that this is the last week.
This will be the last week.
Okay. I just like to say I think it's a very special program because I think it's the only nationally broadcast program that deals with only with media issues, mm-hmm. and I find it very informative. So I just want to vote for that.
Thank you, and I'll add that to the votes. We have several. Thanks for the call.
We've got a caller on line four on a cell phone. I want to get right to that call if we can. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I spend a lot of time in the car, like I'm in the car right now, and I listen to WILL whenever I'm in range, and I have two questions for you. I've always been curious about this. Question number one is, what is WILL's power? How many watts are you?
It varies. 5,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts basically roughly...
Non-directional?
No, we are directional. Roughly sunrise to sunset, we're 5,000 watts. And then we gradually go down to about 300 watts and then down to 100 watts overnight. So it's very local to Champaign-Urbana at night.
I was going to say, I lose you after sunset.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. During the daytime, it's 5,000 watts and... There is a pattern.
I wasn't sure you weren't a 50,000 watt station during the day, though, because you have a great signal.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's primarily the signal goes north and south along the eastern half of Illinois, western half of Indiana. Primarily, we protect a station to our west, so we don't go as well to the west as we do to the east, north, and south.
My second question, because I travel a lot and because I listen to radio as a companion, and one of the best entertainments I found for traveling, and this is entertainment more than information, are the rebroadcast of the golden age of radio programs, the old radio classics.
Oh, yeah.
Have you all ever considered carrying any of those?
Well, we do. We do on our FM station on Sunday evenings run what we call a Sunday night theater type program. That runs, we have been running the Bob and Ray series for quite some time on our
great
FM station at that time. And that's actually on, let's see, Sunday nights, Sunday evening theater. It's on 7:30 on Sunday evenings. But
not on your AM.
Not on the AM, no.
And you have more limited time there, so it's probably... not as much time available to do things like that.
Yeah, although we could, we always consider things, and if we had a number of people express interest, that
well, I'll tell you, I'm just amazed. Whenever I do find old radio programs on the air, I am amazed. And these programs now are 40, 50, and 60 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how timeless they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't sound as dated, and maybe that's just a selection. Maybe they're purposely picking programs that aren't dated. But it's still great entertainment.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much.
Well, thank you much for the call. Yeah, that's always interesting. And we do have a program, if you're listening still, coming up on the Afternoon Magazine next month, and I'm not sure the date right now, but keep listening because we promote them pretty heavily. We will be interviewing the author of one of the definitive Bibles I think this book is about 3,000 pages, and I have to read it before then, on old-time radio programs. And I'll be hosting that program because I do have a great interest in old-time radio and the like.
Let's go on to caller on line 3 from Lovington. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wanting to comment. Do you guys still carry alternative radio?
Yeah. 6 o'clock Saturday evening.
Yeah. I generally like everything you guys do, but I listen to that, and I decreased my pledge this year because I think that kind of deserves to be on in an alternative universe. There's a lot of, there's a lot. I know David Inge has talked about, how do you sort the chaff from the wheat sometimes. I don't hardly ever listen. I happen to listen for about 6 weeks for some reason one time. There's one guy I heard that had something to say that had anything close to do with where we're at.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the comment. I really do.
It's interesting. When you run a radio station, radio stations that do so many different things, especially on the AM station, we're in the business of trying to just offer a lot of different kinds of ideas and opinions on the air over the course of not only each week, but even every day. And certainly some of the ideas are going to seem way out to some people, and to other people, they'll be right on the mark.
Yeah.
And it's just it's one of those things, and it's a risk we take, frankly, because we really do present an awful wide range of opinions and ideas, and I can guarantee you there will be somebody out there who will hear something in the course of a week that they vehemently disagree with.
And that I consider to be good too, because
sure.
It stirs an emotion, it creates a thought, it gets you thinking. 43 different programs in the course of a week. Not everybody's going to enjoy every one of those programs, except me.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes left. Let's try and get through as many more calls as we can. Sure. Let's go to line 1, caller from Urbana. Hello.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to say that I do like alternative radio.
Good.
And second, for the person who likes On the Media, Counterspin is also aired on WILL.
Right.
And if that could be moved to a more accessible time, I think that'd be a great thing to do.
Well, that's a thought. It is going to move next month, and I should probably mention that because Art Beat is going away because of a funding problem, not with us, but with the producers. So Counterspin will move to Thursday nights, but it's still going to be at 10:30. And I understand that's a low power time, and that's a problem for some people. But it will move to Thursday nights at 10:30. And Radio Nation, which is a half-hour program right now, will become an hour.
Okay.
On Wednesday nights. So Radio Nation fans will probably like that.
Yeah, earlier in the day is always better, I suppose. But I had a question about just public radio in general and how things have changed at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting since the Republicans have been putting such a strong attack on funding for it. I'm wondering, from your perspective, if the CPB has changed in any significant way. And also, if you could kind of place it in the context of when the CTV was just being started, and I don't know, it might have been public television did an expose of conflicts of interest among members of Congress, and they exposed how they were giving to, or involved in the banking industry, and Nixon immediately revoked all the funding for the CTV, and they had to come back on their knees to get the money back. I'm wondering if that's a similar atmosphere to what we're seeing today or if it's different.
We don't have much time. I have probably less than a minute to answer your question just because we're out of time, but I'll do my best. There's no question that what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years with regard to the political pressure that's been exerted in Congress regarding public broadcasting, that's had an effect, I think, more on what we should do in the future. How should it be funded in the future? And I think more and more people seem to agree that it should be taken out of the political process in some way, fashion, or form, because this insulation that originally was supposed to be provided by the Congress, forward funding for a couple of years, has clearly been a failure in terms of insulating public broadcasting from political pressure. So I think it's only a matter of time until some alternative funding mechanism is settled upon. And I think the further away from the political process it occurs, the better. And I think it's just a matter of time until that happens.
Now, unfortunately, we are completely out of time, since you mentioned time. We have a couple of folks waiting on the line. If either of the two of you could answer those off the air, that would be great.
Sure.
WILL Station Manager Dan Simeone and AM 580 Program Director Jay Pierce, thank you both for joining us.
You're welcome.
Good to be here.